Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jangda and you're listening to the Qalam Podcast. As a part of our continued commitment to providing free Islamic knowledge and education to millions of people all around the world, we are very grateful to share with you the Tafsir Podcast, a meaningful study of the entire Qur'an. In this series, we will take a journey through the Book of Allah, exploring its meaning, its linguistic miracle, and timeless wisdom. Become a partner in this and so many other of our Sadaqah Jariyah initiatives and projects that will earn you countless reward by becoming a sustainer at supportqalam.com. Contribute on a monthly basis, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Inshallah, continuing with our study of the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the tafsir of the Qur'an. We have been studying Surah Al-Baqarah, which is probably something that we'll be saying for a long time. But nevertheless, we are actually studying Surah Al-Baqarah, so that is correct. We completed ayah number 10 previously. So today, insha'Allah, bi'nillahi ta'ala, we'll be starting from ayah number 11. Ayah number 11. As we do, as we've been doing so far, the way that we'll approach this is that I'll read the ayah in Arabic. I will share the translation of the ayah. The translation of choice in this particular instance, until you know further notice, will be the translation of Professor Abdul Halim. And then after that, inshallah, we'll get into the actual discussion of the meaning of the words, what are some of the understandings that we take from the ayah, the reflections, and so on and so forth. And then usually whenever we get to kind of a conclusion of a section or a passage, there might be certain points that I'd like to make at that particular juncture. So to begin with ayah number 11, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْلِحُونَ. The translator here writes, as a translation of this ayah, ayah number 11, he writes, when it is said to them, do not cause corruption in the land, they say, we are only putting things right. So now to understand this ayah exactly, this is continuing the discussion from what we talked about previously. If you recall, we, from ayah number 8, we started the section where it discusses the munafiqun, the hypocrites. And we discussed the definition of nifaq, hypocrisy, what that exactly means in this context. And basically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defines it better than any of us could in ayah number 8. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ, from the people, there are those, man, there are those, يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, who say that we believe in God and we believe in the hereafter, the day of judgment. وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. But in actuality, they are not believers by any stretch of the imagination. I kind of add that element of any stretch of the imagination because Allah uses certain rhetorical devices to emphasize وَمَا هُمْ. He didn't say وَمَا آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا وَمَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. He said وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. They are not believers at all. They are not believers at all. So we've been talking about those people, and just to refresh our memories, in ayah number 9, Allah said, يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. They think that they are deceiving God, and maybe to some extent they are deceiving those who believe. وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ. But in actuality, what they're doing is they're deluding themselves. وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ. And they don't even realize what's going on. فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ. Buried deep within their hearts is a disease, is an illness. فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. So God has increased them in this disease and illness. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ. And reserved for them is a very painful punishment that will be a direct consequence of the lying that they did, how they used to lie. Picking up from there, in ayah number 11, now Allah tells us, basically the second part of the discussion with them. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. When it is said to them, do not cause chaos and corruption within the earth. The word fasad, it means to cause chaos and corruption, to distort things, to imbalance things. Right? So to conceptually understand the concept of fasad, it is imbalance, it is distortion, it is disorganization. Alright? And so when they're told, do not cause chaos and corruption in the earth, why are you disrupting the community? Why are you destroying society? Why are you throwing people off balance? قالوا, they say, إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ. Now this is very interesting to basically understand the operative word here is مُصْلِحُونَ. The word مُصْلِحُونَ, and this is part of the eloquence of the Qur'an, fasad, chaos, corruption, the opposite, the antonym, is islah. Islah. Salah. Salah means for things to be in order, for things to be in sequence, for things to be where they belong. Alright? So, for instance, when you walk into the masjid and the shoes are scattered about on the ground, fasad. Alright? And when they're on the shoe racks, properly set up and lined up, salah. Alright? Things are in order. Things are where they're supposed to be, how they're supposed to be. So, islah, this is now what's interesting. Fasad means chaos. Ifsad, this is the nuances of the Arabic language, a very beautiful, very expressive and very nuanced language. Ifsad means to cause chaos and corruption. Fasad means something is corrupted. Ifsad means you are corrupting something. Mufsid. So they're being told, لا تفسدوا, do not cause chaos and corruption. You are corrupted, but don't cause chaos and corruption. Salah means for things to be in order. Islah means to fix things. To fix things. And so muslihun are people who fix things. People who put things in order. People that help. People that repair. People that fix things. People that provide solutions. Alright? They solve problems. They don't cause problems. They solve problems. Being a problem solver. Alright? What they say in response to, and they are obviously causing chaos and corruption. Now very quickly, just so that we understand the context, because otherwise, how do we know that this is not just kind of like an accusation? Right? If I ask a question, I raise my hand, somebody's giving a lecture, I raise my hand, I ask a question, brother, what does that mean? And if somebody says, hey, don't cause trouble. What? Cause trouble? How am I causing trouble? I raised my hand, waited until I was called on, and I asked a question. How is that causing trouble, right? So why are they being told, don't cause chaos and corruption? How are they causing chaos and corruption? So if we go to the context, we understand what these folks were doing, as we talked about previously. These were people who did not buy in to the message of Islam at all. They did not like the authority of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They did not want the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling them what to do. They did not like this concept of being accountable. They did not like the concept of the hereafter. They did not buy into Islam at all. Not at all. But they assessed the situation politically and socially and saw that the tide was turning. Medina, pretty much the entirety of it had come within the fold of Islam. And so they felt that it would be a disadvantage to them. It would put them at a disadvantage to at that time say, you know what, I don't like you, I don't believe in you, I don't understand you. I'm not with this at all. They felt that that would put them at a severe disadvantage. So they said, number one, why don't we take advantage of the situation we're in and just kind of fit in for now? And when we're asked, are you Muslim? We'll just tell them, sure, why not? We'll lie. Number two, in assessing the situation, they also looked around and they also saw and they felt that what's a safe way to play this? What's a safe way to play this? Look, if, and we know how it turned out, but their thought process, naqli kufr, kufr nabasha, right? When you quote kufr, you're not committing kufr, so I'm just quoting them. They said, and the Quran talks about this, that they said, okay, if Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam does not win, he's not successful, and Quraysh defeats them, stamps them out, annihilates them, and things go back to the way they were, we want to make sure that we don't get wiped out along with them. Now, how do we do that? The way we do that is behind closed doors, we back channel a little bit and we maintain the relationships and connections that need to be there politically. The powers that be. But at the same time, there is a chance that this goes the other way. Muhammad and his companions, they win. All right? They're successful in spreading their message. And if that happens, how do we again, once again, not be a part of the losing team? So what we do is we'll put up a little bit of a public persona, we'll smile at them, we'll sit with them, we'll talk to them, we'll shake their hands, we'll say the words that they say, inshallah, mashallah, assalamu alaikum, right? We'll line up and pray with them occasionally. We'll do what we need to do to maintain those kinds of, you know, that semblance that we belong to the group. So in case they win, we're on the winning side. If the other side wins, we got some people that we can say, hey, he can vouch for me. I was an agent. I was a spy working for y'all. So this is how they decided to go about it. It was completely politically motivated. And that in and of itself is a disease. It's a disease of the heart. So that's what it's describing. So now they're causing that trouble. Because occasionally, right? It's not so clean, is it? Because sometimes what happens is some of their deeper, darker connections, they're told to cause some kind of disruption in the community. They're told, tell us what Muhammad's plans are. So they leak the information. That causes a detriment to the Muslim community. That's a problem. Sometimes they're told, hey, we need you to kind of destabilize the community a little bit. Cause a problem, cause a fight in the community, right? I'll analogize it to the guy who comes into the WhatsApp group and, you know, kind of causes a little bit of a situation, all right? So they show up, they cause a little bit of a situation, causing trouble. On the flip side, sometimes they get caught in their own conversations. They get trapped, things spill out. Sometimes there's a conversation going on in the Muslim community and they're not able to contain themselves and they start a confrontation. They say something disrespectful because at the end of the day, there's a beautiful expression in Arabic, al-ina'u yatarashahu bima fihi. What spills out of a container is what is in the container. Right? So if this bottle tips over, milk is not going to come out of it, water is going to come out of it. Because water is inside of it. So what overflows from the cup is what's in the cup. What comes out of the water bottle is what's in the water bottle. So they have all that evil and hatred and animosity and enmity and malice and rancor that is all stuffed inside of them. So occasionally that spills out. A couple of examples. One time they're sitting late at night. They think they're by themselves. And they kind of look around and then they start speaking very disrespectfully about the Prophet ﷺ and about the companions. They call them filthy. They call them, you know, leeches, lowly. لَيُخْرِجَنَّ الْأَعَزُ مِنَ الْأَذَلِ. You know what? We should kick them out of our town. We should take back our city. All this scum is overflowing. Our city's become infested, and so on and so forth. They start talking like this. There's a Muslim who's in the corner who overhears all this, goes to the Prophet ﷺ, reports it, creates a situation in the community. Another time, they're going for the Battle of Uhud. There's 3,000 of the enemy who are coming to basically try to burn Medina to the ground. They're coming to fight the Muslims and stamp out the Muslims. They're going out there, they have about 1,000 people on the Muslim side, still 3-to-1 odds, but there's a chance, gives us a fighting chance. And 300 of them were from the Munafiqun camp, or their allies that they had brought with them. And so halfway there to the battlefield, they say, you know what? We're out. We're not going to participate. And they try to pull out at the last minute to knock them off balance. Situations like this. Alright? So now they're being told, إِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ, when it is said to them, لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, don't cause trouble. Don't cause chaos and corruption in the earth. Be a good person. قَالُوا, how do they respond? And this was very interesting. إِنَّمَا لِلْحَسَنِ, it's used to kind of create the effect of exclusivity. Like trying to say, we are nothing but, نَحْنُ, إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ, what are you talking about? Cause trouble. So there's two ways to translate this. That's very interesting. إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ, we are nothing but problem solvers. We're good people. We're the good guys. We don't cause trouble. We're good guys. Another way to translate it that is even more nefarious is that إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ, we are the only good guys. You're telling us not to make trouble? It's almost like an indirect way. If somebody says, brother, don't cause trouble. What do you mean cause trouble? I'm the good guy here. Which automatically is indirectly saying to you, you are the problem. Do you see that? That's why I said it's even more nefarious. Because it's again, that same munafiqun, that same hypocrite way of taking an indirect slight at the Prophet ﷺ and his companions. إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْلِحُونَ, we're the good guys. What are you talking about? In ayah number 12, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, أَلَا إِنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْمُفْسِدُونَ, أَلَا إِنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْمُفْسِدُونَ وَلَكِنْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. The translator writes, but really they are causing corruption, though they do not realize it. أَلَا إِنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْمُفْسِدُونَ وَلَكِنْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَا. The word أَلَا in the Arabic language is a way to grab someone's attention. Listen. Like I know some of the old English translations, you would see, lo, behold, listen up, pay attention. What are you talking about? We would say like, what are you saying? إِنَّهُمْ هُمْ. This is again the emphasis. They and only they. That's why I shared the translation that they said, we're the only good guys here, because Allah responds by saying, they and only they are the troublemakers. وَلَكِ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ, but they don't even realize it. And therein is a very, very interesting and fascinating point. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَكِ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ, they don't even realize it. What that kind of opens your, what that kind of makes you realize, what that makes you understand, is that on one side these were evil, bad, nefarious people, troublemakers. But it also gives you a little insight into how truly delusional they were. That they actually believed some of this rhetoric. Right? They, as they say, you know, they kind of drank their own Kool-Aid. Alright? They bought their own stock. They bought into their own hype. So, وَلَكِ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Now, in ayah number 13, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us something very powerful. It's a little bit of lengthier ayah. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسُ, قالوا أنؤمن كما آمن السفهاء ألا إنهم هم السفهاء ولكن لا يعلمون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and again I'll read from the translation, when it is said to them, believe as other people believe, they say, should we believe as the fools do? But they are the fools, though they do not know it. So again, to kind of break down this ayah, what exactly are we learning here? وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ We saw this previously, so it's almost like a rebuttal, a response now. Right? وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ When it is said to them, آمِنُوا Believe. So they're being told, listen, there's no point of this back and forth. You're being argumentative, combative, difficult, for the sake of being argumentative, combative, and difficult. Just believe. Submit. Let the faith into your heart. Let Allah tell you what to do. Follow the example of the Prophet ﷺ. Fully invest yourself. Aminu. And then it says, Kama amana nas, just as other people believe. I would kind of adjust the translation here a little bit and translate it as, just as these people believe. Because there's a concept of this. Now the word hadha or haula is not here, but there's a concept in the Arabic language of al, that al, annas, it makes it proper, okay? That makes it proper, the definite article, these people. Sometimes the al just makes something more specific, but sometimes it also refers to something that is physically apparent, something that is very obvious. Okay? So if I say, hand me the book, if I just kind of sit here and I say, Abdurrahman, can you please hand me the book? You're immediately going to ask, which book? But if I point at something and I say, Abdurrahman, can you hand me the book? You're not going to say which book. Because I'm pointing. There's only one book right there where I'm pointing. So you're going to hand me that book. So sometimes when something is very obvious like that, so these are the hypocrites at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. They're being told, believe as the other people have believed. And who are the other people? The Sahaba. The companions of the Prophet ﷺ. And that's why the scholars even state, Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala, and others, they state that اتفق المفسرون على أن المراد بالناس الصحابة رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين, that there is an agreement of the commentators of the Quran, the scholars of the Quran, that where Allah says, believe as the people have believed, the people that is referring to are the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. And herein, kind of a very fascinating point is introduced, and I don't want to spend too much time here, because we can spend a lot of time there, but this is a very beautiful introduction to the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. And we have to understand this, that these are a group of people. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu said it very beautifully. He said, اختارهم الله لصحبت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. God chose them to be the companions of His Prophet, peace be upon Him. They were not perfect. They were not prophets. They were not angels. Right? But they were a very remarkable group of people. And that's a very fair thing to say. We, of course, admire them and love them and adore them and respect them and name our children after them. Right? But at the same time, to alleviate anyone's apprehension, somebody who's learning or hearing about it the first time, we're not elevating human beings to infallible status. But what we are saying is that they are remarkable people, blessed people, amazing people who committed their lives and even their deaths to the propagation and the establishment of this religion. Right? رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ These were people who dedicated themselves to the covenant of God. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ Some of them gave up their lives, lost their lives in the line of duty. of establishing and propagating and teaching this religion, spreading this religion. And some of them wait till death will come to them. Muhammadur Rasulullah wa ladina ma'ahu. Muhammad is the messenger of God, and then there are those who believe alongside of him. All right. So these were a very amazing group of people, and in them you see the manifestation of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Islam is manifest in human form, and they prove that this works. They were a testament to the truth of Islam, because how it took these people who, before the Prophet ﷺ came to them, before the Quran was presented to them, they were in a really, really bad situation, to say the least. To say the least. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refined them, polished them, elevated them through the truth of this deen and this religion. So, it's kind of an introduction to the companions. Anyways, when it is said to them, believe like these people believe, قالوا, they say, أَنُؤْمِنُ كَمَا أَمَنَ السُّفَهَا. Should we believe? Should we believe the way that the fools believe? And they call the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, they call all the devoted true believers, Ali and Fatima, Abu Bakr and Zainab and Umar and Uthman, and all of these remarkable people, they call them fools. Foolish. Alright? And that right there, like I said, sometimes it spills out. They expose themselves occasionally. This is exactly what this is, that this is an example of that. One little interesting thought is that, why did they describe, again, not that there needs to be any kind of even semblance of thought or intelligence in their comments, but nevertheless, why did they describe them as fools, sufaha, which I'm roughly translating to fools, okay? As-safi, sufaha is a plural of the word safi. The word safi comes from as-safhu, safaha. And in the Arabic language, in its roots and its origins, the word safaha means al-khifa, khafif. Somebody who is, you know, not to be taken seriously, hence the translation of fool. And the reason why they say these folks are not to be taken seriously, when we look back at them, we're saying, what are you talking about? Abu Bakr and Bilal? Ali and Fatima? Uthman and Umar? Like Zainab? And what do you mean like they're not to be taken seriously? They're amazing people. It's because they're approaching this from that, like the Quran has already exposed them, from that, you know, worldly paradigm. Okay? These people are not the most powerful, they're not the most wealthy, they're not the most political, they're not the most influential. So therefore, people like that in the society, the structure that they were coming from, people like that are not to be taken seriously. Weak people, old people, young people, slaves, poor people, orphans, yada yada, etc. Right? They're in their social structure, they're not to be taken seriously. So that's why they're saying, we don't take them seriously. Sufa. Alright? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to them by saying, Ala innahum hum. Once again that emphasis. Ala, listen up. Inna, most definitely, whom, they, and only they, are the true fools. They're the ones who should never, ever, ever be taken seriously about anything they have to say. وَلَكِنْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But they do not know this. They don't understand this. They don't know this. Now, one thing that's very interesting between ayahs 12 and 13 that I felt was interesting to point out, in ayah number 12, ayahs 11 and 12, when they were told, don't make trouble, they say, we're the good guys. Allah says, no, they're the actual troublemakers. They don't realize it. And then when they're told, believe, as good people believe, the companions believe, they say, you want us to believe like these fools? Allah then says, they are the ones who are actually the fools, but they don't know it. Realize versus knowing. a very interesting juxtaposition of two different words, two different verbs, two different words, two different meanings, to realize versus to know. And so the scholars discuss this and explore this from the point of view of Arabic, that when they're told not to make trouble, it says they don't realize. Realization, shu'ud in the Arabic language, is idraku ma khafiya, to grasp something that might not be so obvious. To grasp, shu'ud is to grasp something that is not super obvious. Okay? When it talks about, they're told to believe, have faith, believe, they say, Allah said, la ya'lamun, they don't know. And the word ya'lamun comes from the word ilm. Ilm means to know with conviction, to know with confidence. Alright? So, when it talks about making trouble, Allah says they don't realize. Realization is almost like something you feel, something you sense, something you can sense from your surroundings. But ilm is about knowing with confidence and conviction. And that comes from knowledge. And knowledge needs to be acquired. And that knowledge is not always available everywhere. You have to seek it, you have to acquire it, you have to learn it, you have to internalize it. And that's why Allah uses two different verbs, that when it comes to making trouble, you can look around you, you can see, you can sense, you can feel, you can hear what's trouble and what's not. Alright? Who's making trouble and who's not? That's very obvious. But to know something means that you have to have knowledge of it. You have to have knowledge of it. You have to learn it. You have to apply yourself. You have to seek it. You have to acquire it. You have to attain it. And then you have to understand it and internalize it. And so that's why when it comes to faith, Allah uses a much more sophisticated word. When it comes to trouble, Allah says they don't realize. It's kind of like if I'm talking on the phone and someone says, you were talking really loudly. I didn't realize. Right? But when it comes to knowing something, that's something that I have to apply myself and I have to learn. And it's a little indication about the fact that faith, belief, iman, is not something that you can just pick up. Not something you can just overhear. It's not something you can just look at from a distance. It's something that requires you to apply yourself. You have to learn. You have to read. You have to listen. You have to apply yourself. You have to educate yourself. You have to think about it. You have to internalize it. It requires more work. That's the point. That faith, iman, belief requires work. Now, moving on to ayah number 14. In ayah number 14, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues this discussion about the hypocrites and about their condition and about their state and, you know, where they are and how they are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَالُوا آمَنَّا وَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَىٰ شَيَاطِينِهِمْ قَالُوا إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْتَهْزِئُونَ. I kind of foreshadowed some of this. This is what I was explaining about hypocrisy and what its manifestation is. So in ayah number 14, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when they meet the believers, they say, we believe. When they meet the believers, وَإِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, when they meet those who have believed, قَالُوا آمَنَّا, they say, we have believed. But when they are alone with their evil ones, they say, we're really with you. We were only mocking. So, وَإِذَا خَلَوْا, that's very interesting. When it talks about them meeting the believers, Allah uses the word, وَإِذَا لَقُوا, لَقِيَا, مُلَاقَات, اللِّقَاء, they meet. That in and of itself tells you, right? If somebody says, oh, so-and-so, Zayd, your friend Zayd, And you say, Zayd's not, we're not really friends, we're acquaintances. I've met him a couple of times. You clarify that, right? You clarify that. Like, I don't have his number, he doesn't have my number. We don't hang out. We've never had a meal together. I see him sometimes every now and then in the community. So I've met him, right? He's an acquaintance, I'm acquainted with him. We're not really friends. You clarify that. The word liqa is just kind of like coming face to face. Liqa does not imply any kind of relationship. Laqituhu means I met him. That doesn't mean I know him. That doesn't mean I'm friends with him. It doesn't mean I have a relationship with him. I mean, again, we generally want good for everybody, but it doesn't mean that I necessarily care about him, that I'm invested in him. Anything. I ran into him. Yeah. So there's something very public about it. And pay attention to this part. There's something very public and therefore something very performative about it. It's very performative. It's almost like, you know, when you want to just kind of run into someone, meet someone, right? Then you can kind of like try to, you know, catch them somewhere. Oh, he usually eats lunch there, so you try to swing by, kind of catch them, you know, catch them in the lobby, come across them in the elevator, right? So there's something very public and very performative about that. So that's why when Allah says that when they're never with the believers properly, intimately, like in their gathering, sitting with them, talking with them, eating with them, praying with them, when they meet the believers. So it's like a public display. It's a public stunt. It's a PR stunt. When they meet the believers, they say, yeah, we believe too. Hey, Muslim, great. Assalamu alaikum. Right? When you go somewhere, we'll say a wedding, right? And you want to leave sooner rather than later. You especially then make it a point to kind of walk around, make sure everybody who needs to see you sees you. Assalamu alaikum. Hey, Assalamu alaikum. You make sure you get in a couple of pictures, right? If need be, kind of photobomb somebody, right? Just so there's documentation, I was there. You'll take out your phone and you'll story something, snap something, Instagram something. Just doc, I was there. Because I need to leave here. Right? But if you're somewhere and you're actually there to be there, to be with the people, to experience it, to enjoy it, right? It's a manifestation of a relationship or relationships that you have, then you're not really trying to prove that you're there. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? There's a difference. When a politician shows up at a disaster site, they come with a camera crew. I gotta prove I was here. Right? Real volunteers who are actually working there, what kind of a camera crew do they have? They don't. They don't have a camera crew. And so it just kind of tells you a little bit about the mindset. So وَإِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَالُوا آمَنَا. When they meet those who have believed, they say, we are believers. So it's like almost like they arrange these public meetings. But then what does Allah say? Think about this. This juxtaposition of words. The Quranic language is very powerful, very beautiful. وَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَىٰ الْخَلْوَىٰ. خَلْوَىٰ means intimate. Intimacy. Privacy. When they go in private, when they meet in private, when they meet intimately, privately, when I want to meet a family member, when I just want to hang out and talk to my best friend, to my family, I'm not arranging some public display. I'm not making a PR stunt out of it. I just go there. I sit down with them. I go to my parents' house. I have a camera crew following me. I don't call them out of the house. Hey, come here. Father, stand with me. This is my father. I have met him. Right? Like, no. I go to the house. I sit down. And I talk to them. Private. I actually don't want people around. So that it is a private conversation. When I talk to a friend, I just want to talk to my friend. I don't want it streamed live on Facebook. Right? It's a conversation with my friend. So, this is saying, وَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَى شَيْطَانِ. The hypocrites, who do they go and meet with? How you meet with family, how you meet with friends, how you meet with your buddies. شَيَاطِينِهِمْ. They're evil ones. Now this is very interesting. What's meant by شَيَاطِينِهِمْ? Alright? So, because shayateen, their shayateen. Shayateen is a plural of the word shaytan. The word shaytan, it's the word that refers to the devil, Satan, Iblis, Lucifer, the devil, shaytan. Okay? But the word shaytan itself has a meaning. It comes from the word shaytan. Shaytan means something that is very dangerous, very negative, very bad. And Allah teaches us in the Quran, Shayateen al-ins wal-jinn. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, while there is an actual shaytan, Iblis, the one who refused to bow in front of Adam when God commanded him to do so, and thereby he was cast out, and inna shaytana lakum adum mubin, and he is the enemy of mankind, of the children of Adam, trying to misguide them, la'ughyannahum ajma'een. I'm going to misguide them. Okay, while there is that shaitan, the Quran is teaching us, shayateen al-insi wal-jinn, the Prophet ﷺ also commented on this, that shaitan is also this concept. There's this concept of shaytaniyya. That it means for someone to be bad, for someone to be stubborn, for someone to deliberately defy God, and then to devote themselves, as strange as it is to use that word in this context, they devote themselves to misguiding, betraying, deceiving, deluding others away from Allah. So they themselves are wretched, they themselves are rotten, and their goal is to corrupt everybody else. Shayateen al-ins wal-jinn. And then Allah tells us that while there are jinn, like Iblis, like Shaytan, this other creation that is devoted to kind of deceiving people and, you know, evil whisperings to people and evil inclinations and, you know, kind of what we would say, taking people away from good, all right? Similarly, there are human beings amongst the human population who become so corrupted and so evil and try to cause evil wherever they go, try to corrupt people whenever they come across them, that they are basically human shayateen. They're human demons. They're demons in human form. Or they're human beings behaving demonically. Alright? Satanically. Right? They're just making trouble. So that, now, what is meant over here? That when they go and meet in private with their shayateen. Who are their shayateen? Right? The scholars of tafsir, the scholars of the meaning of the Quran, they tell us very, very clearly that over here, this is referring to not like Iblis, shaytan, the jinn, or anything like that. This is referring to ikhwanuhum fil kufr. They're co-conspirators in this effort to try to destabilize the Muslim community, to try to undermine the Prophet ﷺ, to try to cause harm to the Muslims. وَرُؤَسَاؤُهُمْ وَكُبَرَاؤُهُمْ. And they're ringleaders. They're ringleaders. So this is talking about people. But it's talking about the most evil of their kind. The most problematic of all of them. And many of the Mufassirun here, they mention and they narrate that the leader of the majority of the hypocrites, the leader of the hypocrites at the time of the Prophet ﷺ in Medina was an individual by the name of Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. Terrible, terrible wretched man. Arrogant, evil, petty. Somebody who had so much hatred and malice. Very vindictive, very jealous, very angry, very abrasive, very vengeful, petty. And he constantly was coming after the Prophet. He was the ringleader. So this is saying, they publicly, deliberately, on purpose, outside of the masjid, they like kind of show up around prayer time so they know there's going to be a lot of Muslims out there. And they show up and they're like, Assalamu alaikum, Assalamu alaikum, hey, how's it going, brother, 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 Assalamu alaikum, brother, 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 Assalamu alaikum. As many times as they can, they'll say, Assalamu alaikum, brother, brother, Assalamu alaikum, brother, brother. Putting on a show. Hey, we're with y'all. But then who do they actually spend their time with? They spend their time with the most evil, corrupted leaders of their crew. Alright? And what do they say when they go back to those leaders? Inna ma'akum. We are actually with y'all. Inna ma'akum. We are with y'all. In the Arabic language, it's a very powerful word, ma'a. The word ma'a in the Arabic language means the two things that are just like completely attached to one another. Ma'iyya. This is, and I say it's a very powerful word, it's a very powerful kind of element of the Arabic language, because what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Inna Allaha ma'a as-sabirin. Inna Allaha la ma'al muhsinin. God is with good people. God is with patient people. What did the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ say to Abu Bakr when they were migrating from Mecca to Medina and they were hiding in the cave and the people were trying to hunt them down and catch them? And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the companion of the Prophet ﷺ, started to get worried. What if they find us? And he said, لا تحزن إن الله معنا. Don't worry, God is with us. Moses, as he stands at the edge of the sea, with the army of Pharaoh coming at them, and the people start to freak out. Inna lamudrakun, we're caught, we're done for. But they say, kalla, absolutely not. Inna ma'iyya, Rabbi. With me is my Lord. With me. So that it's a very powerful concept. Ma'iyyatullah, God being with you. May God be with you. It's a very powerful concept. Ana ma'ak, I am with you. Inni ma'akuma asma'u wa ara. God told Moses and Aaron, Musa and Harun alayhim as-salam, I am with the both of you. Asma'u wa ara. I'm listening, I'm watching. Don't worry. Alright? So it's a very powerful concept. So that, look at how they express that. They say this very generic public statement, Assalamu alaikum, brothers. Hello. But when they go to the people that they are actually collaborating with, Inna ma'akum. We are with you. We're in this together. And they say, so when they're asked, well, you say you're with us, you were acting mighty chummy out there, buddy, buddy, you know, calling on everyone, waving at everyone, saying hi to everyone. They say, Inna ma nahnu mustahzi'un. All we're doing, again that emphasis, Inna ma nahnu, we are doing nothing but, the only thing that we're doing, mustahzi'un. Mustahzi'un, istihza in the Arabic language, it means to make a mockery of something. To mock something, to ridicule something. Alright? To mock something, to ridicule something. So we are mocking them. We're mocking them. We're not doing anything more than that. Nothing more. This is us just making fun of them. Alright? Again, I don't want to give this example because it's an example of bad behavior. But imagine if somebody, you know, people behaving very badly, poorly, cliquish behavior, right? So I'm over here with these guys, and I go over, you know, maybe they don't like these folks, and I go over there and I'm kind of like, hey, salaikum. I go back over there and like, oh, you're cool with those guys, huh? It's like, I'm just making them think I'm cool with them. They feel special now because I said hi to them. Innama nahnu mustahzi'un. We're just making fun of them. We're playing games with them. We're mocking them. Now, in the next ayah, in ayah number 15, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something very, very powerful. And what I would describe as also something very, something to think about. Something very powerful. And something that is honestly very, very scary. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu yastahzi'u bihim wa yamudduhum fi tughyanihim ya'mahun. The translator, he writes here that God is mocking them and allowing them more slack to wander blindly in their insolence. This is the language in this particular verse is very, very complex. First of all, Allah says, Allahu yastahzi'u bihim. God. And He uses the name of Allah, the name of God, Allah. Because it delivers a lot of like power and emphasis. It packs a punch, as they say. Allah. It's very heavy. It's very powerful. It's very impressive. Allah is mocking them. Allah is ridiculing them. Allah is humiliating them. Now, one thing that the scholars talk about is that in the Arabic language, Arabic is a very, very, as I said before, very expressive and a very stylistic language. Okay? So one thing you do in the Arabic language is there's what's called al-majaz. Majaz is figurative speech. Figurative speech. And there are many, many specific types of majaz. We probably won't have time for it today, but in the next session, we're going to look at a lot of different types of majaz. But nevertheless, one type of majaz is al-jaza. Dhikrul jaza'i bil-jaza. Alright? So what that, or what's also called al-mushakala. Al-mushakala. Which mushakala means mirroring. To mirror something, mirroring in language is a type of figurative speech. Allow me to explain, right? You know, if someone says, if you say to someone, you know, I'll give an example in English. It's, again, probably not a great example, but it's what I can think of on the spot. You know, if somebody's holding something, like valuable, something of value, of consequence, right? The microphone, they're holding it, and they're threatening to throw it out the window. Right? They're threatening to throw it in the trash can. And you say, yeah, don't. And they're still holding it, still looking at you with that look in their eye. And then you know how sometimes you'll say something like, if you throw that, I will throw you. If you put that in the trash can, I'll put you in the trash can. Now obviously, are you actually going to put them in the trash can? Depends, right? Typically, no, you're not. Alright? It's a grown human being, right? I'm not going to actually put him in the trash can, but it's a way to show disapproval. It's a way to say, there's going to be consequences. You put this in the trash can, there's going to be consequences. But what you do is you use a figurative kind of speech that's called mirroring. Someone's like, I'm going to put it in the trash. You say, you put it in the trash, I'm going to put you in the trash. You're using that mirroring kind of speech to make a point, emphasis. Everybody following with me now? So this is a very beautiful style in the Arabic language. And the Quran employs this. God speaks with this kind of expression. Okay? An example, Surah Ash-Shura. Surah number 42, Allah says, وَجْزَعُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. The consequence of evil is evil. God's not going to do something evil to you. It just means the consequence of bad is that you will suffer. But it's mirroring it. The consequence of evil is evil. Alright? فَمَنِ اَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ فَاعْتَدُوا عَلَيْهِ بِمِثْلِ مَا اَعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ. If somebody violates your rights, you violate them. It doesn't actually mean you violate them. We're supposed to be exemplars and people of justice. Somebody commits a crime, there is a consequence to the crime. But again, it's mirroring in language. Somebody violates you, you violate them. Somebody crosses the line with you, you cross the line with them. It doesn't actually mean you exceed the limits, but it's mirroring in language. وَإِنَ عَاقَبْتُمْ فَعَاقِبُوا. Somebody messes with you, you mess with them. We don't mess with nobody. We might hold them accountable, but we don't mess with anybody. But again, it's a type of speech. Somebody messes with you, you mess with them. The Quran says this. Right? The Quran uses this style. So, same thing here. It's saying that they go, they put on a public display, they high-five Muslims outside the masjid, then they go meet in private with all their ringleaders, and then they say, we're with y'all, we're just making fun of them, we're making them look like clowns. They're high-fiving us thinking we're their friends, when really, we're going to stab them in the back. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, using that style of mirroring language, says, they think they mock the Muslims, they think they mock Muhammad, God mocks them. What it actually means is that Allah will humiliate them. Allah will destroy them. Allah will hold them accountable for this. But that style is used. Does everybody follow? Very good. So, Allah will yastahzi'u bihim. And then it says, وَيَمُدُّهُمْ فِي تُغْيَانِهِمْ. يَمُدُّهُمْ, مَدَّ يَمُدُّ means to extend. It means to extend something. And God is extending them. فِي تُغْيَانِهِمْ. What does that mean by he's extending them? Not actually like physically extending. Again, it's being used figurative. That's why I told you the language in this verse is very powerful, it's very figurative, it's very beautiful. Extending them, meaning he's allowing them to keep doing tughyanihim. Tughyan in the Arabic language, tagha, means to cross the line. To go over the line, to cross the line. To do bad things. Yeah, taghalma. Like the Quran talks about it, that water overflowing. Alright? So it's saying that يَمُدُّهُمْ فِي تُغْيَانِهِمْ. Allah will allow them to, and again, this is like an expression that we have in English. Like you say, like let him keep digging his grave. Let him keep digging himself into a hole. You know, so Allah allows them for a while to keep on doing the wrong that they're doing. Ya'mahun. Ya'mahun. And then this is the last word of the verse. Also another example of some very powerful, beautiful language. This comes from the root al-amah, which basically means to not be able to see clearly. Foggy, hazy. Al-amah. That's where the word originally comes from. And what it's used as a figure of speech in the Arabic language is when someone is dazed and confused, يَتَحَيَّرُونَ يَعْمَوْنَ عَنِ الرُّشْدِ. They don't know what they should do, they're dazed and confused. That's called يَعْمَوْنَ. So eventually they don't even know what they're doing. They're just running in circles, high-fiving here, meeting there, saying this, saying that, meaning this, meaning that. At some point, they're just totally jumbled and confused themselves. They don't know who they are. They don't know where they belong. They don't know who's on their side. They don't know whose side they're on. And they're just completely confused. Because they have no foundation. They have no basis. They have no belief. They have no anchor. Ya'mahum. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes this little discussion here on them by saying in ayah number 16, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُوا الضَّلَالَةَ بِالْهُدَىٰ فَمَا رَبِيحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ. Again, the translator here very beautifully writes that they have bought error, they have bought error in exchange for guidance. So their trade reaps no benefit, no profit, and they are not rightly guided. They are not rightly guided. So ulaika, these people, those people, such people, they are the ones ishtarawu. Ishtara, yishtari, it means to trade, to acquire something, trade, barter something. So they take misguidance and give away guidance. They take the guidance that the Prophet ﷺ is providing to them. The Qur'an is pouring on them. The Qur'an, the advice and the counsel of the Prophet ﷺ, Islam. All that good that is just being provided to them, dropped in their lap, laid out in front of them, served on a silver platter. They just take all of it and they walk over to these corrupted people and they dump all of that out and they take all their evil and their venom and their hatred and their tricks and their lies and their deception and their delusions and they take all of that. Terrible. That's why Allah says, and this is something, this is another metaphor. This is what we call a metaphor. Tashbih in the Quran, actually, this is called an isti'ara. Alright? It's a metaphor. It's a very, very clear metaphor. What's called isti'ara tasrihiyya. Alright? So even though the example makes it very clear, because of the straightforward language it uses, they took misguidance in exchange for guidance. They gave away guidance and took misguidance. You understand that that's a bad deal. That's a terrible deal. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is what's called tarshih. This is what tarshih. Tarshih, again, in the Arabic language, it means to be overly explicitly clear. To almost kind of hammer the point home. And you hammer the point home when you're really trying to make a concrete point. You're trying to end the conversation. You're trying to end the discussion. Allah says, فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ. By the way, in case somebody is too dense to understand from this already, they make no profit in this trade. This is a bad, bad deal. They lose this deal. فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes this by saying, and they are not rightly guided, they do not have guidance, they do not have Allah on their side. These people are completely lost, completely deluded, completely and totally astray. I wanted to end and conclude this by Allah, by sharing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about similar kinds of people. These kinds of people in the Qur'an, in another place in the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hadid, in Surah Al-Hadid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lays out a very powerful description of what will occur in the hereafter on the Day of Judgment. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you will see the believers on that day, يَوْمَ تَرَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ, you will see the believers on that day, that they will be racing and flying across the plains, crossing the bridge over hell. And there will be a guiding light in front of them and to the right of them. And they will be praying and glorifying God as they are moving swiftly with this light surrounding them, guiding them, warming them, comforting them. And they will be saying, oh Allah, complete our light for us. Forgive us, have mercy on us. They will be praising, praying, glorifying God. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that that will also be the day that the hypocrites, these people, يَوْمَ يَقُلْ الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا انظُرُونَا نَقْتَبِسْ مِنْ نُورِكُمْ. The hypocrites, they'll be drowning in darkness. They have no light. They won't know where to go. They won't have the ability to move. They'll feel trapped. Like imagine quicksand in the dark. And so they'll be stuck. And they'll see these flashes of light flying by. And they'll say, Unduruna, wait for us. Naqtabis min nurikum. Just let us have a little bit of your light. Little bit. قِيلَ ارْجِعُوا وَرَاءَكُمْ فَالْتَمِسُوا نُورًا. It will be said to them at that time, go back to the life of the world. That's where you were supposed to earn the light. You were so busy playing politics. You were so busy worrying about your own agenda, trying to, you know, situate yourself, trying to, you know, be on all these different sides and play all these different games and lie and be treacherous and all of this, that you wasted your opportunity to earn the light. So there's no light for you here today. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us ultimately at the end, they made the worst deal possible and they are not rightly guided. Not in this world. In this world they were met with ruin and misery. They were eventually exposed. And they died miserable deaths. And in the life of the hereafter, they'll be ruined for all of eternity. And I'll quote one other place in the Quran referencing the hypocrites. But this really, really is very frightening, to be frank. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. They will be in the lowest, darkest, deepest, most terrible pits of hell. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all.
Amen.
This is why we study the Quran. وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ نُورًا مُبِينًا. If we want that light, we want to live an illuminated existence here. We want that light in the life of the hereafter, comforting us, warming us, guiding us, helping us. That light is earned here. And one of the primary ways to earn that light is this Quran, this book of Allah. Allah calls it a light. We sent you our light. So it's very important that we read the Quran. We try to understand the Quran. We reflect on the Quran. And that's one of the best ways to counter that hypocrisy, and that evil that makes its way into people's hearts. That's the best way to counter it. The remembrance of God, the word of Allah, that will illuminate and enlighten our hearts. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَعَقَ الْبَاطِلِ يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. You want to dispel the darkness, turn on the light. You want to remove what's wrong, what's evil, what's bad, bring what is good and what is true and what is correct. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to what is correct. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be from the people of the Qur'an. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to understand the Qur'an. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the Qur'an a proof for us and never a proof against us. Amin ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanallah bihamdihi. Subhanakallah bihamdik. Nashhadu la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.